Welcome to the Bridge Church Podcast. Our hope is that God would speak to you during this time, and our mission is to connect you to Jesus daily.
Yeah, we can't do Mary, Did You Know, and that video, and then I walk up. You know, like that's just too much. My emotions can't handle it. It's so good. Can you guys give it up for worship just one more time this morning? Just so powerful, a reminder, and it's incredible to know the gifts that God gives the local church, and that we get to lay those before His feet and say, here are our gifts, here are our talents, and God, use them for Your glory. My name is Daniel Cazeneuve. I'm the pastor here at the Bridge Church, and today we are celebrating the Christmas story. But before we dive into that, I do have a quick announcement for you. We announced this last Sunday, but I want to announce it again this Sunday. Jason told us about our Christmas Eve service that is coming up. That is our very first Christmas Eve service, so we hope that you plan to attend. It's going to be a really, really great service there as we do a candlelight time together. A lot of other creative elements there in that piece as well. But another quick announcement for us, that 24th Christmas Eve service will be the last service that we have here at New Life Church because we are on the move. January 9th, we are headed to USCB College. So if you pull out on 278, take a right, go down about 3 miles, take a left, there we'll be right there on Sunday morning. We're going to go back. That means a couple different things. That means for us. One is we get to get back to a little bit more of our identity because our identity is to be the bridge, to build relationships, to help people connect. And when we're there, we're not having to rush out so another church can have a service. We're able to go back to building those relationships and doing things in the lobby and connecting as a church and inviting the community in and having that opportunity. We can control our service time a little bit so we can have service as late as we want, right? Just kidding. We won't go too late. But we will change it up. It'll probably be 10 or 10:30, whatever that may look like. We're going to be pushing more information over the next 2 weeks. But something that's important for you to know, next week we were planning a completely online service for the 26th. Because it's the day after Christmas, and we want you to snuggle up in your PJs, grab the hot chocolate, and listen to our service online. But since we are moving on the 9th, we're going to go ahead and do a completely online service for January 2nd as well. Okay, so we're going to be online for those 2 weeks for a couple different reasons. One is a lot of people are traveling during the holiday season, but also that gives us 2 weeks to organize all of our equipment, get it all ready, and be ready for our big launch. We're going to build that anticipation up, right? And then on January 9th, we're going to be at the college at USCB. So we're going to be pushing that, help us share that information out. There's a couple different moving pieces to that, okay? But I don't want to spend too much time on that. So begin to pray and say, God, how would you use me during this season of transition? We're starting a brand new year, whatever that may look like. There's many different moving parts, and we know that there is a role for you to play as well. And so we'd love to plug you into that. So let me pray for us. And then today we're in Luke chapter 1, okay? And the first week we honed in on John the Baptist, really looked at the Christmas story from his point of view and why John the Baptist came. And then last week we talked about the wise men and looked at Christmas from their point of view and how they brought their gifts and talents and used those for the glory of God. And today we're in Luke chapter 1. We'll be there in just a few minutes, verses 26 through 38. But I want to pray for us and ask God just to speak to our hearts. So let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we love you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your truth. God, thank you so much for the opportunity to come together before you. God, I pray that you would just illuminate your word inside of our minds. I pray that if I know the holiday season can bring so many different mixed emotions, God, that maybe there's for our hearts, maybe it's a time of grieving a loss. And God, I just pray that we can come and allow you to comfort us during this season, comfort us during this time. I know that a season can also bring celebration and it can also maybe bring a little anxiety and worry because we have so many moving pieces and people visiting and traveling and all of those different aspects, God. And I just pray over the next few minutes that we can release those things. We can kind of take that weight off of our shoulders and hear what your word has to say. Hear this beautiful and epic Christmas story and how it can apply to our lives here in 2021. God, we ask that I would decrease so that you may increase And we ask all this in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Have you noticed that I feel like, maybe because we're living in like a TikTok. I don't know what I was saying. TikTok and Instagram world. Have you noticed that baby announcements have gone a little haywire? You know, like they just, you're like, what? Like what happened to just going, it's a girl, right? Or it's a boy. Like how can that, remember, that's awesome in itself. But if you were to see some of these things on social media, they just go over and beyond. I saw this one the other day. Get this, crazy. This guy is in a trailer wearing like a baby diaper, painted the color, a grown man painted the color, and the trailer thing drops down and he comes dancing out. It's a boy, right? You're like, oh my goodness, what is wrong with people today, right? Just baby announcements have gone a little crazy. But that season of the announcement, that season of what's coming next, and is it a boy or is it a girl? I mean, there is this incredible hopeful expectation, right? There's this anticipation of who is to come, who is it, what's the name going to be, all of these different things. And we see this very unique but incredible baby announcement. And this is not just an ordinary baby announcement. This is not, hey, it's a boy, or hey, it's a girl. An angel of the Lord appears to this young woman. And can you imagine being this young woman where you are being raised and you're going about your day and you're preparing for a brand new year, right? And all of a sudden, an angel of the Lord brings a baby announcement to you. And unbeknownst to you, right? Because as we read scripture, she hasn't been with someone, right? She's a virgin girl, and all of a sudden she's standing before the Lord, or standing before this angel, and the angel is saying, hey, you're going to give birth to a son, but not just any son. You're going to name him Jesus. And this Jesus is going to be the Son of God. What a thought. What, I mean, just so many mixed emotions that come through my mind of so much pressure, and why me, and what is this even going to look like? What are people going to think? And all these emotions begin to play and to unravel inside of our minds. And so I'd love for us to go and get firsthand knowledge of what this baby announcement looks like. So in Luke chapter 1, starting in verse 26, it reads like this. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you. But she was greatly troubled at saying, and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son. You shall call his name Jesus, and he will be great. And he will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end. And Mary said to this angel, how will this be since I am a virgin? And the angel answered her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God. I don't know who needs to highlight, underline, whatever that right there. If you want to memorize a verse before you leave today, right here, Luke chapter 1, verse 37, for nothing will be impossible with God. And Mary said, behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. What a beautiful sight. I understand Mary's. You noticed in the Bible, anytime an angel appears to someone, their immediate reaction is fear and terror, right? Like, what is happening? This angelic, holy being just comes in front of them and it says, Mary, behold, I have this incredible announcement for you. And she is terrified. And in fact, scripture says she's trying to interpret what kind of message is he bringing. bringing? Is he bringing a message that is good? Is he bringing a message that is bad? Like, what kind of message is this angel Gabriel bringing? And I love Gabriel because we see Gabriel in multiple times in the Bible. In fact, he appears twice to Daniel and then later to Zechariah to announce John the Baptist. And now he's coming to Mary. And Gabriel tends to be, as we see in Scripture, this angel that brings revelation. He brings this message to reveal things to the human race. And we see many different kinds of angels come about throughout the Bible. We see the archangel Michael, who comes about in the Old Testament. And a lot of times he comes to battle the spiritual warfare, to protect those who are around us. And so angels play these different roles. They are helpers. They are messengers of God's army. And Gabriel in particular comes and appears to Mary, and she gets this incredible baby announcement. But this baby announcement is not an ordinary announcement. In fact, it's a fulfillment of a very Old Testament prophet, Isaiah. He prophesied this hundreds and hundreds of years before Jesus even came, and almost to a T. Look at this in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. It says, "Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel." Emmanuel meaning God with us. We see this picture, this fulfillment of prophecy begin to happen right there in the moment. And Mary, growing up in this Jewish tradition, she would have heard this prophecy. She would have known this was coming. And then all of a sudden she realizes, can you imagine? She realizes she is now a part of fulfilling this prophecy. She is now going to be the mother, just like Jacob just saying beautifully. Mary, did you know everything that was going to come into play, everything that was going to come into fruition through this boy, Jesus? And Mary would be the one to walk through this. And I read this week, and it's a pretty incredible thought to think about Mary, because she is the only one on this planet in history, right, to experience being the mother of the Son of God. And who else out of everyone can confirm that she is a virgin giving birth, right, conceived by the Holy Spirit? And guess who was one of the only people left at the foot of the cross when Jesus went to the cross to pay the wages of our sin? At any moment, Mary could have stepped up and said, you know what? No. This is not true. This has not happened. Like, this is not it. I can't take it anymore. I can't let my son go through this. It's all a hoax. But she didn't, because she knew he truly is the Son of God. And I know, because I'm Mary. I know this is true. I know that I haven't been with anyone, but yet here I am, giving birth to the Son of God. What a beautiful picture that you and I, we get to lean in and hear this story. But today I just want to spend the next few moments looking at the three really big pictures that Gabriel illuminates about Jesus. Now imagine, he could have described Jesus anyway, right? Like, he is an angel. He's been planning for this. I wonder if Jesus called him in and said, okay, it's time. This is about to happen. I wonder if Gabriel was practicing, right? Do I get the names right? Is this what you want me to say? Is this exactly how you want me to say it? All these things, right? But yet he describes Jesus in three different ways. And I think that's important for you and I to realize who Jesus is. And this is how he describes him. The first one, Gabriel says that this is the Son of the Most High. That this is the Son of the Most High. That Jesus is God from the very beginning. We know that Scripture teaches that this is not the first time Jesus ever existed. No, he was there in the beginning. But this is the first time he comes in human form and comes as this humility form of a baby. But yet Jesus is the Most High. There is nobody that is above Jesus. I mean, he is as far and as high as you and I can get. I love this in John chapter 1. We actually read this a few weeks ago, but I thought it was worth bringing back up. In verse 2, it says, "He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and life was the light of men." We see that all things were made through Jesus. I mean, what a lofty description of who Jesus is. But I'm here to contest that you and I, when we give our lives to Jesus, we're not just giving our lives to what you would see a statue or some other gods that we may see throughout the world. But no, this is a God who is the Most High. There is no one who is above him. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. His ways are higher than our ways. And so when you and I know, when I surrender my life, when I choose to worship, when I choose to follow Jesus, I am saying that, God, you are the Most High. You are holy. You are righteous. You are who you say that you are. And we see this come to fruition in Jesus. And then he continues, Gabriel, and he gives this description. And I love this description because I'm going to tell you here in Most High overshadow you, therefore, and behold, Gabriel announces, and it says that you will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there will be no end. And if you're taking notes, the second one we get here is he will reign forever. That Jesus is on the throne. That the king has come, and his kingdom will never end. His kingdom will not cease to exist. You and I, we tend to think this is the beginning of something, and this is the end, right? Like we tend to think that. And for you and I, but God, he always is, he always was, and he always will be. He is infinite, and it's hard for us to wrap our mind around that, but to understand that Jesus' kingdom will not end, that he has an eternal perspective, a generational thousands of years to come. We see this picture. And one of my favorite verses that illustrates this is in Hebrews chapter 10. You guys still with me? And this is important. This is huge. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 11, it says, "And every priest stands daily at his service, offering repeatedly the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins." And this is speaking of the Old Testament, how they would have to bring these animals at least once a year, because the payment for sin is death, and these wages of sin is death. And so these priests would have to come and slaughter these animals just year after year to pay for the sins that happened the past year over and over again. And then it says, "But when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God, waiting from that time until his enemies should be made a footstool for his feet. For by a single offering he has perfected for all times those who are being sanctified." I don't know about you, but this verse 14, if you need an encouragement on any day of the week as a child of God, I would hold verse 14 so close. "By a single offering he has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified." We get this picture that year after year, these priests would have to come and sacrifice these animals, and just year over and over and over again. But when Jesus comes, the Most High, this perfect and holy Jesus, he says he offered one sacrifice. And from his one sacrifice, he perfected those who place their faith in him. And when you and I place our faith in King Jesus, we see that his reign will last forever. And what does it say? After Jesus made this sacrifice, what does he do? I love this picture. Just picture this in our mind. This one sacrifice, he is back in heaven, and it says he sits on the throne. That one sacrifice. How many times, I know in my mind, when I mess up, when my mind wanders, or I say something that I know that God didn't want me to say, or break a relationship, or whatever it may be, and I'm walking in that, and I'm just beating myself up, and I'm like, I can't believe this. I can't even go back to God. I can't go back to church. Like, I just, this is just so difficult. This is crazy. Sometimes we may picture that God's up in heaven going, "Oh, what are we going to do?" Right? Like, what are we going to do? I can't believe this. Like, well, let's get everybody together. Let's take it back down. We need to do this whole baby thing again. I need to go to the cross again. Like, all of these things. No, Jesus is still on the throne. And Jesus is going, "Nope, I paid for that. No, I paid for that. I paid for that. Just give that to me. Repent of your sins, turn from those things, and pursue me, seek me, seek my righteousness. He's like, anything. We are never too far. We have never, there is not an act on this earth that can separate us too far from the power of the grace of God, that we can bring that at his feet. And this picture for you and I is that he will reign forever. That COVID did not shake him off his throne. He is still sitting on his throne, right? Amen? Like, we see this picture all through time, all through history. You and I can rest in the fact that Jesus is still on the throne. His kingdom will last forever. This is big for you and I, because we're not swayed by culture. We're not swayed by the times. We're not swayed by the enemy and Satan who comes at us and going, look at you. You're not even saved. How could you say that? How could you act that way? God doesn't even want to see you. You and I know we can stare the enemy right in the face. We can stare those thoughts right in the face, look in the mirror and go, no, no, no. Jesus is still on the throne. Jesus is still reigns. He still will reign forever. He is still in control. It may look like chaos, but yet he is still holding it all in order. And my job is to surrender to him. I don't have to carry the weight of the world. You don't have to carry the weight of the world on your shoulders. We don't have to figure it out. We can actually step into the chaos because our king is here. Our king is still reigning forever. And then he gives us this third one here, and then we'll kind of begin to wrap it up. And Jacob got me all excited saying I'm married, and you know, so who knows? We may just keep going, right? The next one he says, as he's calling it, says, therefore the child will be born, will be called holy. What amazing picture. Out of all the things, all the names he could have pulled out here in this moment, but he wanted Mary to know, he wanted you and I to know that this baby will be called holy. This baby is different. In fact, this baby will be holy. And if you look at the word holy, it means to be set apart. It means to be separated, right? Like with this holy and this separate moment that you and I, we have a God who is holy, right? He is the Most High, and he will reign forever, and he is the utmost holy. His existence is pure. His existence is righteous. And this is important because in Hebrews 10, this is why his sacrifice was made forever. Because he was holy, it was the sacrifice of a holy king that allowed you and I to walk in that truth, to allow you and I to understand that we serve a holy king. And you may be wondering, those things are great, but to have this proper view of who God is, this proper view of the King has come, when we understand who Jesus is, when we get a picture that this is who we're worshiping, this is who we're celebrating, it changes everything about our lives. You and I, we can't confront this truth and walk away going, well, that's just really, it just doesn't really shake me that much. You know, like we have to make a decision of going, okay, I either say that this is the king who will last forever. This is the king who is, his ways are higher than my ways. This is a pure and holy king that actually his messengers, when they're in front of people, terrify people. But yet we see this holy moment with God, and you and I have an opportunity to say this is who I give my life to. This is who I worship. Because am I right? Just tell me this. When my life is in utter chaos, when my life is in brokenness, I don't need a God who thinks on my level. Right? Like, I don't need a God who has as much as I have figured out. I don't need a God who is just like you and I. No, I need a God who died on the cross and 3 days later rose again. I need a God whose name is above every other name. I need a God who is holy. I need a God whose kingdom never ends. I need a God who sees my life and every life to come and every life that has been. I need that God to clean to, right? Like, I need him. That changes everything for you and I. to realize this, to grasp and hold to it. This is why the Christmas story is so impactful. This is why the Christmas story is so incredible, because this is who was ushered in. This, when he says God is with us, this is who is with you when you go to work. This is who is with you when you walk into your living room and you have to have that hard conversation with your kid. This is who is with you when you walk into middle school. This is who is with you when you walk into high school. This is who is with you when you have that scary transition from high school to trying to be an adult in college. This is who is with you when you have to stop and see a family member's name in the hospital room and you have to walk in there. This is who is with you everywhere we go, that this holy, righteous, forever kingdom God is with us. And this is the story that we get to live out. This is the good news. This is what separates a Christian from everybody else in the world, is this is the God whom we serve. This is the God whom we love. And then get this, and then I promise I'll close. Because when we get that picture right, you and I can confidently say, Luke chapter 1, verse 37, that it's not just a verse for us. It is a way that we live our lives. We can repeat this. We can speak this with faith and with confidence. For nothing will be impossible with God. For nothing will be impossible with God. I don't even know how I'm going to do it today. For nothing will be impossible with God. I don't know how our family is going to make it through this. For nothing will be impossible with God. I don't know what 2020 holds, but I do know, for nothing will be impossible with God, right? I don't know how my marriage is going to make it, but I do know, for nothing is impossible with God. I don't know how I'm going to get over this anxiety, but I know, for nothing is impossible with God. I don't know how I'm going to navigate this future and what is next for me, but I do know, for nothing is impossible but God, because He is the Most High God, because His kingdom reigns forever, and because He is pure and He is holy. I can say that with confidence. And now the only thing that is left for you and I is, what is our response to that? Where do we go from here? Where do we take that information? Where do we take this Christmas story? And what does that mean for you and I here today? And I would say that you and I, we must have the same response that Mary had. And this was Mary's response. Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. What a beautiful response that Mary took. And now we begin to see God is searching the earth, and he sees Joseph comes from the family line of David, and his plan becomes together. And he's like, oh, yes, I'm about to unleash this plan of Jesus. But watch Mary's response. Watch her response. Because it's a response and a heart posture that you and I can take, no matter what age we are. You know what? I am a servant of the King. I am a servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. Let it be to me whatever your will is, God. Not my will, but your will be done. Why? Because you are the Most High God. Why? Because you know yesterday, today, and forevermore. Why? Because you're still on the throne. Why? Because you are holy, you are pure, you are perfect, and you are trying to grow me into your image to be more like Christ. I am your servant. One of my favorite titles I like to write on things just to throw people off is, I am the servant of the King. A servant of the King, because that's who we are. We're a servant to Him. We are walking in His ways. And trust me, for as I follow Christ and as you follow Christ, why wouldn't we want to serve the one who this Gabriel describes? Why wouldn't we want to surrender to that? If He is truly the Most High God, if He will reign forever, and He is pure and He is holy, why wouldn't we surrender our lives to Him, knowing that in all of that, He died for you and I? Knowing that He loves us more than we can ask, think, or imagine, and He works all things out for the good of those who love Him, why wouldn't we, right? Why wouldn't we have that posture with Him? And so I would say this Christmas season, what a way for you and I to worship is to remember who Jesus is. Remember why this is a big deal. Remember why this is. And when we remember, it allows us to have this posture of going, God, you can handle this. God, you can handle this Christmas season. You can handle 2022. You can handle my emotions. You can handle my anger. You can handle my questions. You can handle all of this. Because everything you have said has come true. And your name still carries thousands of years later. And my prayer is that that would be our response. God, I am your servant. And the first step is, you've never started a relationship with God. That's our first step, is to start a relationship with him, to say, hey, for the first time, I am saying I believe all of this and I am ready to place my faith in him. I would love to pray with you today. If you're listening online, there's a link you can click on. But don't leave this place today without the confidence of knowing, for nothing will be impossible. There's a caveat there, right? With God. And know, when you leave this place, you are now walking hand in hand in relationship with God. And Jesus made a way for that. And that is the beauty and that is the hope of the Christmas story. But let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your truth. God, thank you for the testimony that we have. God, that you are the Most High God. That your kingdom reigns forever and you are still on the throne. God, that you are holy, that you are pure, that you are perfect, and I can rest in the fact, God, that you are all of those things, and I am not. God, I am your servant. We are your servant. I pray that you would continue to work in our lives, work in our hearts, and I pray that as maybe the enemy may whisper lies into our minds and into our hearts and into our families, I pray that we remind him who we are serving, God. I pray that we remind him who our King is. I pray that we remind him who our Heavenly Father is, God. That you are the Most High. You are the King of Kings. And we have decided to follow you and to trust in you, God. I pray that that encourages us. I pray that it uplifts us. I pray that you give us wisdom as we navigate the closing of one year and beginning of a new year. I pray that you do something anew in us. I pray that you give us hope, encouragement, and grace. Continue to lift us up, God, because your heart is to connect with us, God. And our hearts should be to worship you and to praise you for what you are doing. I pray that we continue to do that. We ask all this in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Let's stand and continue to worship together.
Thank you for tuning in to the Bridge Church Podcast. If you would like to find out more information about our church, you can simply visit our website at thebridgebluffton.com. Have a blessed day.